ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading from 10th canto, chapter 5th, text number 30 is written here, and it has a purport. But because next two verses, 31, 32, doesn't have purport and the chapter ends there, I will read that also afterwards. Text 30. Nunam yadrushto nishtoyam adrushta paramo janaha अदृष्टम् आत्मनस्तत्त्वम् यो वेद न समुह्यति नु ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन एवरी मैन इज सर्टनली कंट्रोल्ड बाय द डेस्टिनी विच डिटरमाइंस द रिजल्ट्स ऑफ वन्स फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटीज. In other words, one has a son or daughter because of unseen destiny. And when the son or daughter is no longer present, this is also due to unseen destiny. Destiny is the ultimate controller of everyone. One who knows this is never bewildered. Purport. Nanda Maharaj consoled his younger brother Vasudev by saying that destiny is ultimately responsible for everything. Vasudev should not be unhappy that his many children had been killed by Kamsa, or that the last child, the daughter, had gone to the heavenly planets. I'll read text 31 and 32. Sri Vasudev uvacha करो वै वार्षिको दत्तो राज्ञे दृष्टा वयं च वः नेहस्थेयं बहुतिथं सन्ति उत्पाताश्च गोकुले. वसुदेव सेड टू नंद महाराज, नो माय डियर ब्रदर, सिंस यू हैव पेड द एन्युअल टैक्सेस टू कम्स एंड हैव ऑल्सो सीन मी, डू नॉट स्टे इन दिस प्लेस फॉर मेनी डेज. It is better to return to Gokul, since I know that there may be some disturbances there. Sri Suka Uvacha Iti Nandadayo Gopaha Proktaste Shaurinayayu Anobhir Anduk Adunduk Kais Anobhir Andundu Yuktais Tam Anudnyapya Gokulam. Sukadev Goswami said, after Vasudev advised Nanda Maharaj in this way, Nanda Maharaj and his associates, the cowherd men, took permission from Vasudev, yoked their bulls to the bullock carts, and started riding for Gokul. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport to the 10th canto, 5th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Meeting of Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev. Hare Krishna. So, Nunam hi adrushto nishtoyam adrushta paramo jana adrushtam atmanas tattvam yo veda nasa muhyati. This word muhyati also comes many times in Bhagavad Gita, which means bewildered or disturbed. Or basically, this is a sign of ignorance. Like it is said, in darkness, when we touch a rope, we become afraid because thinking it is a snake. But once we know it is a rope, then our fear is gone. Generally, there is always a fear of what's going to happen in the future, unknown. It is said, adrushta. None of us can actually see what's going to happen anytime in the future, after a few minutes. There can be something good happening. Maybe one person will come and just donate some lakhs and crores of rupees here and go away. Or maybe some earthquake may be happening. It can happen in the coming few minutes. We just don't know. Or nothing will happen. And the class will go on. as usual till the end. Nothing specific or any significant will happen. But anyway, there is always a fear or anxiety of what will happen. Or class may go on too long or too short. Either it can happen both ways. So always there is a fear of unknown what will happen. So that is called adrushta. Because a conditioned soul who is not trikaladnya cannot see the present, future and the past. And actually he cannot see the present also. Means our perception of presence is only limited to this room and hall. And that also is not complete because what's happening below this asana or inside all of your hearts or inside my pocket, there can be some bug, I don't know. So basically, even the perception of presence is very, very, very limited. Absolutely almost nil. We may know, oh, okay, there are around 50 persons over here, approximately. And if I require, I can count exactly. But that's all. It's very limited perception of presence is what we have. So in this way, basically, not only future, but future, past, and present, all is adrushta by a conditioned soul. What he sees is also by limited senses, which is also having the four defects of human being. And then, okay, something he knows. So in that way, this fear of destiny is there in everyone's heart. Even in devotees, non-devotees. Basically, everyone is afraid of what is going to happen tomorrow, after 5 years. And the death is the main fear because after death, what will happen to me, to my family, to my children, to my generations, which we don't know who will be there after 2 generations. We hardly know, but there people worry. They make up so much money for, they just don't know. In this world, we have seen people have so much money that they can't even spend in their life. It's impossible. And then they make more and more and more and more, and they have billions of dollars and then trillions of dollars, and how many generations they will keep. They think they will keep it for so many generations. But there's some statistics. It says that in this material world, a rich person's generations, only 4 generations remains rich at the most. Generally, it is only 2 or 3. If a person has become fabulously rich, only 2 or 3 generations remain rich. 4 is very rare and never 5th. So people make money, unlimited money to for their 10 generations, or they call it 7 generations in India, or there's Sat Pidhan, something like that, or maybe 10, 20. But the statistic says, in Kali Yuga at least, that generally 2 or 3 generations remain very opulent on the top, and then the slowly, slowly downhill starts. And after 4 or 5, they are nowhere in the top in the financial, whatever the market, or it may be there. And similarly, poor people also go out after some generations. Things go up and down. But still that unknown destiny, the fear is there. Karma. Guhyam, it is always guhya. And because it is guhya, the material people, they get muhyati. They get perplexed or bewildered. Basically, when we become Krishna conscious, this destiny still holds true. To some degree, Krishna says, "Yatha mam prapadyante tam stateva bhajamyaham." But up till that point, and even after one may attain pure devotional service, sometimes destiny may still hold true. And it is always a fear in devotee's life also. What will happen tomorrow? Will I get promotion? Will I have enough money during retirement? Or so many things. Will I remain healthy? Or so many things, fears of unknown is there. But actually the whole instruction of Bhagavad Gita is basically, it's a what is destiny? In simple, destiny is the results of whatever we have performed. It's not something odd, just coming out of the blue. It's already done, as simple as it. Just like if I pour a water, I'm here, then I'm going to become wet. It's as simple as that. If I've done something, the results is going to come. Only thing is, because we are not so much aware of what we have done, and we are not so much aware of what will be coming, we just start thinking about it. But if it is as sure as it is going to happen, if the destiny is as sure as it is going to happen, then the whole Gita or here, the verse is telling that one who understands that everything is going to happen by destiny, he remains undisturbed in all circumstances. So basically Krishna also desires or wills that the living entities understand his point, and they focus their energy, their enthusiasm, their whole efforts on how they can remember Krishna and become Krishna conscious. Sometimes it may happen that even there may be, to become Krishna conscious, I may find very difficult. Somebody might have taken birth in some circumstances. For example, Mr. X, he has great difficulty in giving up the smoking habit. Somebody may be there. He is chanting regularly, but still very difficult for some years. So basically his focus should be how just to continue chanting. He has to try to, basically one should not be getting bewildered. He has to try sincerely. But whole focus is how I can remain Krishna conscious and how I can advance more and more. Rather than, because destiny, if it is going to happen, it is going to happen. Some people say, what type of job I will get? Let me plan out. You can plan out, you should, but that anxiety, that whether I will get promotion or not. So many things are there. But one who knows that it is going to happen as per already predestined, then let us focus. It's an art. We have to try for our responsibility. Suppose somebody is searching for job, he has to try, he has to give full efforts to prepare for interview. He cannot just say, I will not prepare that, what do you call it, CV. Nowadays there is lot depends on how you make your CV. So he has to try. At the same time, he has to understand that things happen as per by destiny. He may have to go for interview for 10 places, 20 places, and then he might get a job, or somebody may get only in the first placement that comes into college, he gets it. And somebody doesn't. Somebody gets after 10, 20, or somebody gets after 4 or 5 years. For 4 or 5 years, he has to look out for some odd jobs. But then destiny is there. And then, therefore, here we see, basically, there is no end to this destiny, material desires, how much we can expect. In this material world, actually, about this material desire, we hear this tiny human beings, or the human planet is called Martyalok, which is like famous for death. The main common quality in the human society is death. Like there is Swargalok. Human society is called Martyalok, and the demigods, they tease or make fun of human beings. That they are just going to live for 20, 30 years. And they're giving plans, investments and savings and house. Just 30 years their life is remaining, or 20 years. They are in the Martya Lok and they are making plans. Just like we will make a joke of some cockroach making plan. Oh, whether I will make my house in that corner or this corner. He is going to stay in whatever his residence only for 4 days. And any one of you or me will just come and broom it off. But still they make a plan. Everything, they make plan. So we just joke or we just have a smile. What is this? 4 days life they have, and they are making plans where they should make a house, and how much money they should earn, where they should store their water, foodstuffs they have got, how many children they should have. I don't know, cockroaches make that plan or not, but they make their own plans. And we may laugh at them. 4 days life. Mosquitoes, they have 4 days life. And they may plan whether I should suck blood in Chaupati temple or somewhere outside. Here there is pure blood, but good. Or whether I want blood mixed with alcohol, then I have to go somewhere outside. Or whether I want blood mixed with fish, then I have to go somewhere other, Koliwada or something like that. So they can make their plans. What type of blood they want? Fish curry blood or Madhuram blood. But it's still the life of 4 days. Their whatever plans they make, what type of blood they want, it's the life of 4 days. And we may joke what type of plans they are making. So demigods, they actually joke at human beings. 20 years life means active career life, 30 years. Before that, they are just playing. And after that, they are just laying. You just remove the P. After that 20, 30 years, they are playing and then they are laying. And then 20, 30 years life they have, and we make plans what I will do, what I will not do. And then, so actually these material desires are very relative. Cockroach has his own, human has his own. What I did a few days back in one college program, I started asking the students in an interactive way. Because I am going to tell one story where Supreme Lord, all three of them, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, they come and ask to one saint, what boon you want? And I said, suppose all three of them come to us. Not theoretically, like, oh, please give me pure devotion. As a devotee, we may say like that, but when the opportunity comes, it may happen, okay, give me pure devotion, but first give me some swarga lok and this and that, and then afterwards give me pure devotion. So that is actually not pure devotion. But anyway, so initially the boys were a little theoretical. They're saying, I will ask that, let there be no dukkha in this world. I said, they are speaking philosophically. They have to boil down to the reality. Then one boy, he spoke out the reality. He said, I'll ask, still he was little qualitative, not quantitative. I'll ask that in this age of inflation, I should get good payment. I said, no, don't speak. Speak straight, 10,000, 20,000, 40,000. Don't speak this qualitative thing. What payment do you expect? Straight amounts. What is yearly package you expect? So the first boy spoke, oh, I will like to have 5 lakh yearly package. And that's what he, then second boy said, no, I would like to have some more. And then with a car and thing. Then it went on increasing. Then one boy said, I would like to have 50 crore rupees this life, now, right now, cash down payment. no job and no, why to work for a package? I want 50 crore cash payment and then next life Swargalok with all everything that is there in the Swargalok. So that means we can think of that. Something intelligence can go up till that limit. But material desires, they have no end. And what happens, even if we get 50 crores, the more we get, the more we spend. And the more we spend, the more we have less. And the more we have less, we want more. So it is a very vicious cycle in that way. It is always less, whatever we get. So this boy said 50 crore, and it could have gone a little more. Maybe in Bombay, the boys are a little intelligent, they can say, because 50 crore is very less, they have heard scams of 5,000 crores or something like that. So they will say some 20,000 crore or 80,000 crore, what more, billion crores, they will say, and house as big as Mumbai city maybe, somebody can ask, give me a bungalow as big as Mumbai city. Actually what happened in the past, I would tell one story from Garga Samhita, Agastya Muni, we heard this story of Agastya Muni drinking up the ocean. There was one demon named Tarkasur, and he was disturbing the demigods, and I don't know this detail of the story because I'm focusing on this one aspect, that he had some boon that he would go and hide inside the ocean. And the demigod would find it difficult to kill him over there. So Agastya Muni, he drank up the whole ocean. We heard that story, that he's famous for drinking up the whole ocean. So he had that capacity from his yogic powers to drink up the whole ocean, and then Tarkasur was exposed and he was killed. So Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, they became happy and they came and asked Agastya Muni, what do you want? We will give you any blessings. All respects to Agastya Muni, but we can learn from him that how material desires are relative and still they are very puny. So Agastya Muni, in his scale, he was not on ordinary human scale of Kali Yuga, who was thinking in terms of some package or 50 crore rupees or something like that. He asked a very intelligent boon, which we cannot think of. What he asked, because all of you know the lifespan of Brahma, he asked, first, give me residence in celestial aeroplanes. So very clever question or desire. Because celestial aeroplanes includes gardens, fountains, apsaras, buildings, and everything. They can fly at will, any speed, any place, don't need landing facility. It's just like a whole world, whole heaven in itself. He asked, give me a life in celestial aeroplanes. So in that, like we have modern aeroplanes, but if you, some of you are gone, the first thing you sit in your chair and they announce, if the plane goes ups and down, if you vomit, you have black over here. If the plane lands, it goes down on the water, then there is a bag below. And if a plane goes on the, if it's going to fall off, then you have parachute behind. So that's what the facilities are there in the plane. Vomit and then drowning and then falling off. But this celestial aeroplanes avoids all these things. And sorry to say so, All Galatians were plain, but the most smallest toilets are seen in the aeroplanes in the whole world. They are as small, hardly one person can stand over there. And in Vedic standards, they are the most dirtiest because there is no water over there. It's only everything dry. But still, the celestial aeroplanes remove all such things. They are the best of the cities and the facilities. They are the best of cities and best of nature. Best of men, best of health, best of everything. So, and not boring, not in the same place. Even if you are best of everything, it becomes boring after some days because you are in the same place and you want to change. So aeroplane means, and he asked aeroplanes. So different aeroplanes and moving here, anywhere they can move at will. For how long? He says, you know the lifespan of Brahma, 300 trillion 400 billion years, 40 billion years. 311 trillion, 40 billion years is the lifespan of Brahmaji. Agastya Muni asked, till 1,000 Brahmas come and go, multiplied by 25 crores. give me facility to fly in the celestial aeroplanes. So that is what his desire was. 1,000 Brahmas comes and goes, that is 1,000 Brahmaji's lifespan, into 25 crores. So it's just like a human being asking for 50 crore cash down or 100 crore. So that was his capacity to ask for a material desire. We can't even think, kya karenge itna lamba jeevan leke? 1,000 Brahmas, 25 crore. What exactly is 1,000 Brahmas' lives into 25 crores? We can't imagine what is going to happen in that time. And then celestial plane means completely youthful life. See, in that celestial aeroplane, everything is included. Because it's a celestial, there is no old age, no disease. And then he asked to move around. And then he wants something more. Even after this. He is saying, and those who worship me should become the kings of 7 planetary systems. So he wants to be, he has good facility, at the same time boss of all the bosses. Those who worship him should become the king of 7 planetary systems. That what Agastya Muni's desire to the Supreme Lord was. So that's it, means this material world is so relative, and then we go on desiring some material things. But how foolish, tiny human beings, can we desire something like this? Means we can't even imagine. If someone comes and says, we can't even imagine what Agastya Muni desired. But still, in this material world they go. And this destiny will come and go in our world, in our life. But in the spiritual life, what is being taught is not to worry about destiny. Destiny will happen. The more you surrender to destiny, the destiny will take more control of your life. This is a little important principle to be known. And the more, yes, destiny is taking control of your life. The more we surrender to destiny, thinking what will happen, what is my hands, what is my charts, what is my this, what is my that, then Krishna will withdraw from your life. And the stars and the planets and the charts and the lines on the hand will start taking full control of our life. Yes, it may happen that even if we surrender to Krishna, the planets and the lines will take control. But if we surrender to Krishna, Krishna is looking after us, even though planets and lines are taking control. But if we surrender to planets and lines, then Krishna is withdrawing. Because Krishna says, "Ye athamam prapadyante," he is not surrendering to me. He is surrendering to planets to decide what he should do. Then let the planets take care. If he is surrendering to the lines to decide what he should do, let the lines take care rather than me taking care. So this material world, the destiny will happen. It will come and go. As we have heard, this Tukaram Maharaj, a famous saint, what our desire should be? Is this Tukaram Maharaj's abhanga? Hechi dana dega deva, tuja visarana vahava. I don't know if it's correct. Maybe those who know, they can certify it, but something like that. Or, no? He knows. Hechi dana dega deva, tuja visarana vahava. What he is asking from Supreme Lord, that I should not forget you. The destiny will come and go. Our worry should be whether I remember Krishna or not. That is the focus. In Kali Yuga, actually there are some, from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I made some points. But in Kali Yuga, is not so good. There are so many points given here. The general symptoms of Kali Yuga. And that means it is our general destiny. They are general symptoms of Kali Yuga, which means it is our general destiny for all of us. Common destiny. It says one, it's from Srimad Bhagavatam Purport itself, first canto. Internal disease, that is the symptom of Kali Yuga. So it will be with almost all the population. There will be some internal disease here, there, somewhere. Then, relative at a distant place. In Kali Yuga, their relatives far off, they hardly meet sometimes. And then, loss of three legs of dharma. Tapa, shaucham, daya, satyam. So tapa is not there, shaucha is not there, and daya is not there. And then unlawful meat eaters exploit earth. So even if we may be devotees, this exploitation of earth by unlawful meat eaters will be there, and it will be affecting us also some way. They will be spoiling the earth, earth's capacity to grow, so many things will happen. So that is also our destiny and everyone's. No sacrifices, famine and droughts is a part of destiny. Then you can call this, what they call? La Nino or Ifor. Some they give different effects, cyclones and things. Then unhappy women and children, in bracket it is written, exploited. That is also a destiny in Kali Yuga. It will happen with most of the men and the women and the children. And Brahmanas using Vedic scriptures in irreligious way. So all these are common destiny for all of us in Kali Yuga. Brahmanas taking shelter of administrative class. Generally Brahmanas are independent. They don't surrender to the administrative class. But we see in Kali Yuga, sometimes even devotees, they have to for preaching, but still they have to take shelter of administrative class, which is not exactly very suitable. And state affairs in disorder, so that will be there. People don't follow the rules of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That's the symptom of Kali Yuga. They don't follow the rules of eating, sleeping and absence of Krishna. Actually, in spite of all the destiny, we can be wonderfully Krishna conscious. And that is what counts. I will just repeat one story spoken by His Grace Radheshyam Prabhu during His Radhashtami lecture. Some of you might have heard it. Some of you might have been in various services. Or some of us might have heard and then forgotten. That is the destiny. So, and it's my destiny to repeat it again. So I'll speak over that story which Radheshyam Prabhu spoke during Radhashtami lecture of his, of Bhim. He said this Bhim once decided to learn singing. And Bhim was not a singer. He had no much, as per his destiny, he was not a singer. So he decided and he started practicing within the palace. He was practicing early morning with all of his strength. It was a little intolerable. But Yudhishthira Maharaj would not speak anything. He would tolerate as he does tolerate everyone else. But Arjun was feeling a little difficult. Yudhishthira was happy. Then Arjun one day spoke up. Why you are practicing here in the center hall of our palace? Go and practice in some remote place in some forest. So Bhim could understand. But because he was his brother, Arjun, Bhim took the advice and started practicing in some remote valley in some forest. Then one day when he was practicing over there singing, then one washerman came there. And he said, oh Bhim, it's you are singing. Actually, I was very happy because what happened few days back, I had lost my donkey on which I used to carry my clothes for washing. And then after I heard you, I thought I have found my donkey. And so I came here to collect it, but now I see that you are singing. So this was too much for Bhim. He said, from that day on, Bhim stopped practicing singing. He gave up his attempt. That was his destiny. But then, that was Bhim. And then afterwards, after he came back, Bhim was also a little bit of forgetful nature. And then once, what happened? Bhim was going to go to Dwarka for his own personal work. So Bhim told, Yudhishthira Maharaj told Bhim, what do you do? As you are going to Dwarka anyway, you tell Krishna that I want to meet him very urgently. So tell Krishna that he should come to Hastinapur by today evening. So Bhim went and came back. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj asked, oh, you must have given my message to Krishna. And then Bhim realized his folly. As usually, he is forgetful. So he understood and he started crying. That I could not even satisfy my brother, my elder brother. He gave me some small service and I could not satisfy him in that way. And then he was feeling very bad and he told Yudhishthira Maharaj, please forgive me, I just went and so selfish. I just did my own activity or own work and I came back. And in the heart he was crying, lamenting and calling for Krishna and like that. And before the sun could set, before the evening, Krishna came over there. And Krishna came and he met Yudhishthira Maharaj. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj called Bhima, hey, you said you did not tell Krishna. But see, he has come and we have already met. So Bhima went to Krishna and asked, why did you come? How did you know that you have to come over here? Krishna said, you are crying so helplessly just some time back, so I have to come. So in this way, we can say from today's verse perspective, Bhima's destiny was, he was not a singer. And his destiny was, he would forget things many times. But he had this quality of crying for Krishna, remembering Krishna helplessly and with full devotion. That anyone can do in this Kali Yuga. Somebody's destiny may be different as per our material prarabdha karma. Somebody will be something, cook, singer, speaker, writer, compiler, typer, everything. And some destiny will allow something, some destiny will not allow something. And that will be there, and the features will be odd, and the natures will be odd, like here we see in case of Bhima. But still the destiny will be there. But what all of us can do is to cry out for Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That facility, no one can remove in Kali Yuga. That we all have. So, I think that's enough for today. But one point of Kali Yuga is there. And we have some time, so I would take a liberty to speak about that story. Just coming before here, I took shelter of Nityan Prabhu and told him that, please, tell me this story and I want to speak it. The destiny was that he was not speaking it. But I had to hold his dhoti and said, you speak. Otherwise, I will not let you go. And then he told me the story. So anyway, that was all a part of life. But the point is, we are remembering Krishna by all these things. So what happened was that I would like to tell a story of, because in the, what is happening is Kali Yuga is progress. Previously we hear such stories would happen. Even sometime back, hundreds of years back. But as the Kali Yuga is progressing, the absence of Krishna is being felt. We hear so many times that Lord Krishna would previously come so often. Like here he came for Bhim. And then that South Indian Brahman, he's putting hand in the sweet rice. So many things. So in a similar way, how Lord is so careful and he comes so often. But Kali Yuga, the problem is, even devotees, they very rarely cry helplessly for Krishna. And they cry for destiny. They cry fearing their destiny. They very rarely cry for helplessly for Krishna. Just cry, I don't have this, I have that, I don't have this. Actually, I would tell the story of Anantacharya's thought, and I want to tell another moral story that would take, because that is connected. So Anantacharya's story I would like to tell in short is that how Krishna would come in the past. Anantacharya on the Tirumala hill was digging for a well. And his wife was helping him by taking the mud out and throwing it away. And then the wife was little or quite tired by doing this hard job which she was not used to in the sun. And more over and above that, she was also pregnant at that time. So he was finding difficult to take that mud out, go to some distance and throw and come back. So once the Supreme Lord himself in the form of small boy, he came and he told, proposed to Anantacharya that let your wife rest and I will do this service. And Anantacharya said, no, we don't want to accept service from anyone else. This is the service for the Lord, we both will only do. And he drove the boy away. But Lord could not see the wife of Anantacharya being so much fatigued and troubled. So what he did, because Anantacharya was in the well or in the pond, digging in the at a lower level. So he told the wife that you just bring the mud up. And as soon as your husband is not visible to us, you give me that load of mud. I will throw it, come back, give you the empty bucket and you go back again with the empty basket. So wife initially resisted, said, no, my husband will know, then he will be very angry on me. I can't, it's weird to do. But somehow he persuaded and she also agreed. Then what used to happen, this lady would come up with the load and as soon as the Anantacharya was not visible, she would hand over the load to this boy who would go, throw that load at the desired place and come back and give the empty basket and she would come down. But Anandacharya noticed that now my wife is coming quicker back because that distance was done by the boy at a very faster speed. So he doubted, he had some doubt. And then immediately he came up to see what's happening. And when he saw that his boy is doing, he got angry that, why are you doing? And he started running behind the boy with that crowbar or instrument for digging in his hand. And the boy ran fast. And Anandacharya, just in that mood of chastising the boy, threw that instrument and it hit the Lord on the chin. And some blood was falling. Still Anandacharya was following him. And the boy ran across in the opposite direction and entered the Tirupati main sanctum sanctorium, Garbhagruha. And Anandacharya was waiting out. When the boy comes out, I will chastise him. But the boy did not come out. After some time, he went in to take darshan. And there was no boy. He saw the Lord was bleeding over here. So he could understand that the Lord personally came. So Lord used to come, will come. But as the Kali Yuga will progress, the absence of Krishna will be felt more and more. That is part of Kali Yuga. Actually, one short story I will tell. Actually, one man, a very rich man, many years back. This is like what you call it, moral story and Niti Shastra. A rich man was living in a house and he was spending nights sleeplessly. He was so much anxiety. His main anxiety was, I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have this, I don't have that. What nasti in Sanskrit is called nasti. What I don't have. And then when he was spending whole sleepless nights thinking this way under anxiety, he found in some small far corner from a hut a nice sound of singing of names of Govind was coming as if the man is completely joyful. And then he got a little intrigued that who is this man who is so happy? And he is so happily singing the holy names of the Lord. So he went up searching for that sound, following the sound at a distant place in the night. And he saw in a very small simple hut with hardly any roof and almost no walls, a man was lying on an old bed and then he was just chanting the names of Lord in a very joyful mood. And then he went and asked, "How? I see you have almost no house compared to what I have, no belongings compared to what I have, no wealth compared to what I have, no clothes, not much blankets and everything, but still you are so joyfully chanting the names of God and you are so joyful. How come? What is the secret?" He said, "There is a big difference between what you are, your consciousness is and what mine." He says, "You are focusing on what you don't have. Kim nasti. What you don't have, that is your focus. And my focus is on what I have. What I have. Kim asti. I have a bed. I have a small house. So I am focusing on that. And because I am focusing on what I have, I am joyfully chanting the holiness of the Supreme Lord." In that, I'd like to say, in a similar way, in Kali Yuga, as per the destiny, we may not have many things. But it's a great fortune, I think, those who are sitting over here, they have one mouth and two ears. There are some who don't have that also, in the sense they are deaf and dumb. Compared to them, we have at least one mouth and two ears. And that's much more than what we require. To chant the holiness of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And whatever else we have or don't have is irrelevant. Hare Krishna. So I think I end here. Although technically there is some time for question answers. But if anyone has any comments, we have 5 minutes. Or we can take the advantage of early ending of class. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.